Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, starting a business can be terrifying. It's estimated that 90% of all businesses started up will crash and burn. That means heartache, pain, both emotional and financial. Both for the entrepreneur who came up with the idea and the investor who backed it. It doesn't have to be that way. Why Startups Fail has just been launched. It's been written by a gentleman who has worked in the venture capital business for 21 plus years. He's also been part of that 90%, but he's dusted himself down and went again. It's great to welcome Bernie Bulkin to the show. Bernie, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Great to talk to you, Bobby.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Now, why did you write this book?
You know, it started with my thinking that I had seen too many failures that didn't have to happen and too many leaders who didn't know what they were doing. And so I just started scribbling down ideas and eventually it became a book.
Okay. Maybe we'd start with what we define as failure, because I think failure has different fathers, let's call it, depending on where you sit in the business, whether you're an investor, whether you're the founder. So let's define failure if we can.
Sure. I'll take a very simple definition of failure. Let's start from the point of view of the investor. From the point of view of the investor, after 5 years, you haven't got as much money out as you would have had if you had just invested in something simple like a tracker fund for the S&P 500, something that anybody can invest in. If your money didn't earn that much, which is a pretty good return, that's a failure. Now, if it's from the point of view of the founder, say you don't have as much at the end for all your slaving away, and these guys do work hard, as you would have gotten if you had just gone taken a regular job with a good company.
Okay.
And remember, you learn some things, hopefully, in this company that failed, but you also would have learned some things working for a bigger business.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough, your analogy, both from an investor and a founder point of view. Like if you're an investor, you know, that's what you're there to do. You do need to see a return on your money. One of the things that strikes me, Bernie, and you'll probably know this as somebody who's been in venture capital for a long number of years, is the amount of businesses that take in venture capital and then discover that it's not as really what they expected. In other words, the rules change the minute you've got new masters. And not to be critical of venture capital, but the timeline of a venture capitalist is often way shorter in terms of giving the return than it is of the founder. So I just want your thoughts maybe on both those two issues.
Absolutely. I think, first of all, a lot of founders are very naive about venture capital. They think, okay, I've made a pitch. They give me the money. Now I spend the money. That's fine. That's our relationship. Well, it's not. Of course, as soon as you've taken these guys' money, they own a good share of your company. They're sitting on your board, and they've got things to tell you about how they think you should be doing the business. And besides that, they usually have the right to fire you if they don't like you. So you've taken the money, but you've given up a fair amount of control. But you need that money because you're not going to get to scale with just nickels and dimes, are you? So I think that's the first part. I very much appreciate what you said about time scale. And I think that venture investors are always saying, okay, look, you are where you are today. You said it would take 3.5 years to get to a commercial product or whatever. And now I think you got to do it in 2 years. Well, it's fine to be ambitious. It's fine to set stretch targets. I've been doing that all my business life, but it's not fine to set unrealistic targets because then you just are set up for failure. Better to understand what it really takes to get from A to B and proceed at pace to do that.
Let's look at the six reasons that you say businesses fail, Bernie. And again, this is based on experience and indeed your excellent research. A couple of obvious ones. The first cause of the technology doesn't work. Now, that more or less comes down to something that would be engineered or be a product. The second one is the market. Often people go into markets that there's no need for their product. Maybe we look at those two first. Give us your thoughts on the market and people misreading markets.
So let's talk about the markets. I think it's useful here to distinguish between a product that is going to be sold to a business and a product that's going to be sold to consumers.
Sure.
I give the example in the book about the invention of the ATM years ago. Bobby, you may be old enough. I certainly am.
I'm 66.
To have lived before the ATM, where if you wanted to get some cash and you didn't have many credit cards or any credit cards, you had to go to the bank, wait in a queue, and or in America, you would say wait online, and then you got some cash. And if you got there too late on Friday, you didn't have any cash for the weekend. So the ATM was the obvious solution. And it was great in the interest of the banks to have it because they could get away with fewer tellers. It all seemed obvious, but it wasn't obvious because consumers thought, oh, this is too dangerous. I'm going to be getting cash out on the street. I'm going to be robbed and so on. So the consumers had to be educated to think that this was the right product. And the founders who made these machines, they didn't have the ability to do that. So sometimes when you're dealing with retail consumers, they have to be educated, and the startup company doesn't have the ability to do that. So that's one of the kind of flaws that you get. And yet, if you appreciate this problem, you can deal with it. But if you don't appreciate it, you just think, oh, well, there are billions of people out there who can use my product. Great. Now, if you're selling to business, it's a rather different story. Very often in the venture world, I hear from startup companies, well, we have this new process. We got some guy at Shell or BP or Exxon to look at it. They did a trial. They said it's terrific. And so we've got traction with one of the big players. We're in there. But what they don't appreciate is that those companies, Shell, Exxon, Ford, Mercedes, they never buy technology from a startup company.
Yeah.
They buy it from their tier one suppliers who may buy it from a startup or may buy it from someone else.
Sure.
Bought it from a startup. And unless you understand the structure of a market of that sort and how it works, you don't go to the right place. And so you wind up with, and I've seen this over and over again, just doing one trial after another, but never getting real sales.
Yeah. Another way, I'd love to go through all six of them, but I don't have time. But I want to go to chapter eight, the sixth cause, money or lack of it. I've seen many a business, Bernie, over the years, a profitable business, run out of money and go bust because they ran out of cash. It's probably one of the more common things, certainly, that I've seen in my lifetime.
Absolutely. I mean, cash is the only thing that's important, and somebody watching the cash, knowing where the cliff edge is going to come when you run out of cash is crucial. And the CEO, CFO, if you have one, and the board needs to be conscious of this all the time. But if only it was just that simple, I think things would be more manageable. I think where people fall down is they don't understand that there's a role for debt in the company, that even if you're being successful, you can still go bust because of working capital problems.
Yeah, overtrading.
Yeah. So there are there is more to the money thing than just I have so much money today. I'm spending so much a month. I'm earning so much a month. This is when I'm going to run out. It's a little more complicated than that. But there are things that can help companies, and I'm trying to be not relentlessly negative here, but more positive in this book as well, to say, look, find out about things like export finance. You're making a product for export. Then the government should be underwriting this a bit. And there are things that governments do which provide good guaranteed finance once you've got some purchase orders to help you with your working capital. I think coming back one stage and tying back to what we said earlier about venture investment, I think it's quite important to go for the amount of money you need, not the amount of money you think you can raise quickly. And I've seen too many companies that just get caught in an endless cycle of raising small amounts of money when what they need is a bigger amount.
And that's a huge distraction to running a business, Bernie.
Absolutely. You're spending all your time doing fundraising. You're scraping along from month to month, and you're not running the business.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a great book. It's called Why Startups Fail. It's well worth a read, particularly if you're a startup or thinking of starting a business. Avoid the traps on the path to commercial success. The author is Bernie Bulkin. Bernie, great to talk to you this morning.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.